G'day, Jets fans. It's me, David, joining you for another Jetstream review. This time we are looking back over the Round 11 clash with Melbourne City down at Amy Park on Sunday, with the Jets coming out 2-1 losers against City again. Down in, as we mentioned on the preview, the terrible graveyard that is Melbourne for the Jets. Joining me for this review this week is Bodes. Bodes, how are you?
Dave, good to be back on again. Another pod where I'm in front of Ferns for the year.
Yep. You're two up on him now. It's very good, mate. It's impressive to see getting those runs on the board early, unlike the Australian cricket team.
Yeah, mate, I'm making my my options available to play in the Ashes in England in June, July.
And also coming on today as one of our guests is Matt. Mate, welcome again.
Thanks, Dave. Bodes, how are we?
Good.
All right, guys, opening question. Very simple one tonight. What was the first computer or gaming console game that you bought for yourself? Bodes.
I was going to go with Sonic the Hedgehog on the Sega, but then I thought I definitely wouldn't have been old enough at the time to buy it myself, so I think Mum would have bought it for me. So I'm going to go with Super Mario Kart 64 on the Nintendo. I reckon I would have been old enough to buy that myself.
That's a good choice. It's a good choice. Yeah. It's a good game.
Yeah, always go with Yoshi. That was my favourite.
Really? Mario. I'm a Mario man. I think this is an opening question. This is another opening question right here. But I'm Mario all the way. Matt, what about you, mate? What's your game of choice?
I think I'm a bit older than you guys, so it would have been the Atari 2600. You know, the good old cartridges you had to blow to get them to work.
You still had to do that with the Nintendo.
Yeah,
fair enough. I think it would have been a flight simulator game, like F-14 Tomcat.
Okay, interesting choice. Interesting choice.
Ferns is Pong.
Star Wars version of Pong. Anyway, I'm not going to even go there. For me, it was actually Cricket 96 on the computer. So just one of those games you could just stand there, you could just move off and just keep on doing cover drives all day long for six. It was, I worked the game out, good game, and enjoyed it. B. Aitken, A. Blanche, for those that remember the game. There's all the made-up names, none of the real ones, but yeah. Cricket 96. So before we get into talking about this game any further, let's have a listen to the match lowlights, thanks to Fox Sports.
It's a perfect Sunday at Amy Park as Round 11 of the A-League continues, with Melbourne City hosting the Newcastle Jets. A match that has delivered goals, in fact, the highest average goals per game of any head-to-head duel in the A-League. Tom for Stanley. Long ball that'll draw Gligovic off his line. He's missed it. Roy O'Donovan with the simplest of tap-ins. Newcastle get the early goal. Roy O'Donovan's scoring streak continues. And the visiting Jets got exactly what they wanted, albeit through an absolute blatant explosion from Eugene Gligovic. And driving it in, missed by the keeper. McGree denied. Bogard crucial. Italiano went without, but Bogard was able to get his head in the way. Brantley taking the near post, shouts for handball, and this time a penalty is given. Newcastle incredulous at the decision, and Vargas, if that is his second yellow card, he's off. Ronnie Vargas is given his marching orders. Agree, at last, on the runway, and score it. City draw level. Wales, Bratton, and Bratton scores. Left the goalkeeper flat-footed, and Luke Bratton, with a little scuff of that peroxide hair, has sent Melbourne City into a 2-1 lead. Top four Stanley. And Gligovic under physical duress. Well, don't knock the post, fellas. Let's not have that again. It's going to be a corner. And Kurt Ams has not seen a foul there on Eugene Gligovic. Georgievski. And now Petratos fires high. And he's had three shots, all of them well off target today. And Georgievski clattered by Richie Delatt. And tempers are fraying. Kurt Ams trying to play peacemaker. Come at me, brah. For Georgievski. Off the woodwork! It just had the bend to bring it into the post, but not inside of it. Can they land the killer blow? McGree! Off the inside of the post! It does not get much closer than that. And the full-time whistle goes as Melbourne City hold on. The Jets were reduced to 10 in the first half, and they put up one heck of a fight.
All right, guys. Well, there we go. Bose, a pretty disappointing match for the Jets. A spectacle that was kind of ruined as a game, I guess, after 24 minutes, but somehow managed to salvage itself.
Yeah, look, mate, I thought, looking at your pre-game notes, I thought we were just going to smash Kurt Eames for the 20 minutes and be all done, and I could continue watching the TV. But, yeah, if you want me to go further in the match, the first 5 minutes went absolutely brilliant for us. Everything after that went downhill.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was an interesting lineup before we get to that goal, Matt, that Ernie changed all bar one, and I'm kind of worried that we jinxed Ben Kanarowski on the podcast during the week because the guy pulled up with what looks to be a groin injury, and Ugarkovic returned to the lineup for the Jets. Were you happy to see the lineup that Ernie put out? Did you expect any other changes or rotation?
I thought that was, you know, not knowing now that Kanarowski was injured, I thought that was probably the go-to lineup. I think everyone knows my opinion or my thoughts on Rydenton, so I won't have to bring it up again. But it seemed the logical choice from me.
I mean, Bodes, you mentioned there that it was a pretty good first 5 minutes for us. Eugene Galekovic, I mean, what the hell was he doing there? Just gifted it to Roy O'Donovan. But I don't know about you, but I got a little bit nervous when he went to try and volley it just first time into the goal. Like, I thought, he's gonna screw it up. Like, probably because I would. But he's going to screw it up, tapping it into an open goal.
Yeah, I thought he should have gone for, like, the get down on your knees and headed in, like, along the ground, like, sort of in the real cheeky way you see in five side. but, yeah, a bit bold to go for the volley. I guess Galekovic just did, like, basically wrote off everyone's memories from the game against Wanderers on Tuesday night where he basically had the game of the season for a goalkeeper. So, yeah, good on you, Eugene. And once again, I guess Mark Birighetti just maybe gets a little more excited on that bench seat of his.
He's probably the one that was, along with the Jets fans, that was cheering that goal the loudest. But it says something about a striker's instinct, Matt, that O'Donovan managed to avoid the calamity and still managed to put it away and follow his nous.
It's about time, you know, something went our favour. I was definitely laughing when it went in, watching Eugene Galekovic, that's what I was trying to say, Ugekovic, and whichever defender it was to take each other out. But yeah, I had very high hopes at that point in the game, and about 15 minutes later, what can we say?
Yeah, well, it didn't last long if we certainly were ahead at that point in time. It was quickly changed with Ronnie Vargas and his second yellow. We'll talk about that before talking about some other instances through the game. The first yellow, Bodes, it was a challenge from behind. It was very early on in the piece. Many times you see those sorts of instances just warrant a warning from the referee, a bit of a chat to settle yourself down. It was 2 minutes after we scored the goal. Do you think that it was a bit rash? Was it a yellow card challenge to you, or do you think it could have warranted something else?
Look, I'm not saying whether it's a yellow card or not. It's just the wish that if the referee's going to card that, he's consistent for the rest of the game. And let's be honest, he wasn't consistent for the rest of the game. So, yeah, I was happy for him to be carded. I thought it was a poor challenge by Vargas. But yeah, for me, it was more about the consistency for the rest of the game.
Sure. It then takes us on. But prior to that, I mean, we had O'Donovan knocking in his third from three games. We're jumping around a bit, sorry. But, Bodes, we mentioned that 2 in 3 was really good for Roy. 3 now in 4, and his stats are getting better. And is it a case of just wondering what if for our season so far, where we could have been in terms of confidence, in terms of ladder position, had this guy been available from round one?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's once again, I'm probably going another way around of it. And now it comes back to the recruitment side of things. Like, why didn't we go out and purchase someone who could maybe not give the full Roy expectations, but maybe just something a bit short of? So, yeah, look, it's great to see him back in goal scoring form so quickly. It's not some strikers, it's about confidence and stuff like that. But for Roy, I think he's just a natural goal scorer, and he's proving that.
Matt, not long after that, Melbourne started to gain a bit of the upper foot, bit of the upper hand, I should say. Upper foot, we're not talking about upper feet on, certainly feet that are up on this podcast. But Nigel Bougard really kept the Jets in the game after 9 minutes when Riley McGree went through one-on-one, went through and had a shot into an open goal. And it was Boogs there on the spot. For a player that's received a bit of criticism from us over the last couple of weeks, it was good positioning for him to keep the Jets ahead at that point in time.
I guess that's, you know, the upside of having someone that's a bit older and a bit more experienced is that their positional play at times is going to be a bit better. We've given Boogs plenty of flack over the last few weeks about being too slow and can't defend one-on-one, but... yeah, he hasn't really been caught out of position a lot. He's maybe just been a little bit slow to react. So this was a tick for the experience column.
It was after that, Matt, that Ronald Vargas, there was a corner. We conceded a corner, and a flick on at the near post struck Vargas's hand. Before we get to that, there was a situation earlier in the game, and this probably goes back to what Bodes was talking about, referee consistency, where there was a ball that hit hand, the hand of a Melbourne City player in their box. I don't know about you, but I think if they're giving the Ronald Vargas, are you seeing differences between the two situations and that the referees are inconsistent, or do you think that they got both calls right?
To be honest, after 38 years of watching football, I've got no idea what a handball is anymore. I'm scratching my head. I can't see how Vargas had any more time to react to the ball, skimming off Delatt's head and then hitting him as to, whoever it was that copped it up the other end, a couple of minutes earlier when there was the ricochet and it went into the City player. It's just like the handball that Topper had ruled against him when we played Wanderers last year. Yeah. I've got no idea. I do not know what a handball is anymore.
Bodes, what are your thoughts on that point?
This is probably the only thing I think Kurt Eames got all right all game. I thought it was a handball. To be honest, if Vargas is blowing up like he did, I think it's a yellow card as well. It's just a shame that was the only consistent moment all game. So, I was okay with the handball.
And the call before?
Isn't that a bit of an oxymoron, though, saying it's the only consistent moment, right?
Yeah, it's just, it is what it is.
Okay, I don't know. My first reaction, I should say, watching that all unfold was that Vargas actually was booked. The Kurt Eames had the card out prior to, while he was running up to Vargas after he'd awarded the penalty. And I initially thought that he'd yellow card Vargas for the handball offence, and then Vargas started carrying on and swearing at the ref. I think that there is going to be... I mean, it later came out from the referee's boss that he was carded for dissent. Surely if we're pulling people up, Bodes, for dissent and saying what he says, that there are a number of players, multitude, every game, that should be penalised for saying the same sort of thing to the referees. Because if you read the lips of any of these players in these circumstances, they're swearing at the refs. Perhaps not with the same... ferocity.
But a lot of Freds and flips.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think that we're going to see, much like the change in the VAR, that we might actually see this sort of thing policed to a greater extent, at least for the next couple of weeks?
I have no idea, dear David. I don't know what goes on at referee headquarters after last night. I have no idea.
I think that it's a lot of backpedalling, I'm just really interested to see what the fallout from this sort of thing is. I mean, my guess is that it's probably going to be nothing, but I'm just trying to get some conversation points. Matt, did you want to add anything onto it, or both?
I wouldn't have been surprised either way whether it was given or not given as a as a handball, but yeah, I think he deserved the second yellow for the carry on after it. And he's been, well, I said in the group chat, he seems to have been walking like a fine line for the last couple of weeks. You know, he had the blow up with Simon a couple of weeks ago, and I know there was one the week before that as well. I think maybe Vargas is just starting to feel, you know, the pinch, you know, a little bit of pressure as far as, you know, the expectation that's on him and the season not necessarily going to plan. Disappointing. Like you'd expect better from, you know, one of your more experienced players.
People have been asking or have been calling for Petratos to have a break, that he can't play with Vargas, yada, yada, yada. We're going to see next week against Victory down in Melbourne just how that goes. It'll be interesting to see Bodes, because we saw last year in Vargas' absence, Petratos was particularly targeted by opposition teams as the creative outlet for the Jets. It'll be an interesting week for Dimmy and how he prepares.
Yeah, it will be. I think Dimmy might be inside excited that he's actually probably finally going to get that number 10 position just to himself rather than sharing it with Vargas. More interesting for me how Ernie goes about it and what players he chooses to put with Dimmy. So that'll be the more interesting thing for me.
Okay. I thought it was interesting as well, Bodes. Oh, sorry, it was disappointing, Bodes. After Riley McGree put away that goal in the 27th minute, that City managed to get their second just 5 minutes later. And it was a somewhat nothing shot, I felt, from outside the box that Bratton took. And Italiano's response and just to stand there and watch it go in, he didn't look particularly flat-footed, but I don't know, do you think he could have done better?
I personally think he was shocked by it. The fact that, don't get me wrong, Luke Bratton doesn't have that in him, but I think Luke Bratton basically took two touches, or maybe even one touch, and he took a shot. So, yeah, I just think he was shocked by it. I don't think he was prepared for Bratton to do that. But at the same time, it is a pet hate for fans to see goalkeepers not diving. I'm sure there'd be goalkeeping players, coaches at the moment probably saying to me, I have no idea, and you're right, I probably don't. But, yeah, it's never good to see a goalkeeper not to make an effort to at least dive.
It was disappointing for the Jets, Matt, that 5 minutes... 5 minutes just basically turned this match around, and it was all but gone from our grasp.
Yeah, it was. And watching the game like the other night, I rewatched it today, rewatched most of it today, and I took away that, you know, we actually played a lot better than what I thought we did the other night. I was just so disappointed just to see, you know, us give up that, you know, the early lead and have Ronnie sent off. You know, it's just capped off, you know, what's been a couple of, you know, really unlucky or disappointing performances.
I mean, the final controversial decision that I can think of from that first half was a coming together between Eugene Galekovic and Nigel Bugard on the goal line. It wasn't awarded a foul, and the ball appeared to, it may or may not have crossed the line. It was very inconclusive, and I don't think that anyone could 100% say that it had crossed the line.
I know who could say Eugene. Goal line technology.
Yeah, well, it could.
It's more conclusive than the VAR, that's for sure. I'd be happy for us to scrap the VAR and invest our money in goal line technology.
Absolutely, I agree. But Bose, while you're talking, what do you think of that whole setup? What do you think of that whole shake up of that? I mean, a corner was awarded, so there wasn't a foul.
I'm going to keep my heart in this word consistency that there was none of it. And I think this was, if not the real beginning, but it was the beginning of Kurt Ann's end of his game, because I thought for the next 45 minutes after this incident, he was just off the plot. He was, he was in on the fix. If there was a fix, he was in on it. So, I'm bewildered. In my head, it's a foul. I don't know what you guys think. I thought it was a foul. And it's just, we move on. But the fact he's called it for a corner, it's just, bewilders me.
Yeah, I thought it was a foul too. The goalkeepers at the best of times can be a protected species by referees. And I've seen a lot less get given a lot more in terms of fouls for coming together between players, especially when the goalkeepers are jumping and challenging in the air. 2-1 half time. Ernie got the team into the sheds, Matt, made a bit of a slight tweak to the formation, and he mentions that in his press conference. He goes to three at the back and puts the wingers, the wing backs of Georgevski and Hoffman out there. So essentially it's a three at the back, two wing backs with Ugarkovic, Rydenton and Dimi holding the centre of the park. And, you know, for a team that's played three games in the space of a week, they showed some bloody ticket that in that second half. It actually, while we didn't come away with the points, and I think we were unlucky to at least not get a point from that second half performance, geez, that made you proud.
Yeah, absolutely did. I think playing, you know, so many games in such a short time, and you know, especially seeing how they backed up after Brisbane when a lot of them were noticeably tired in that second half, it was a really, really good effort. You know, I think Georgevski sort of started the season slow, but his last couple of games have been brilliant. And that just his work rate and passion that he sort of showed while not getting a yellow card was really, really good. Ugarkovic was another one that I thought had a really, really good game. So, you know, responded well to, you know, being benched and being brought off early over the last couple.
Bodes, Ernie's been criticised about his inability to tactically adapt at times to situations, but I said it, as I said before, I think he got this spot on.
Yeah, I agree. I thought this was perfect. This is probably the exact change they had to make. It was counter attacking what was a dark situation for us. But for me, I don't want to go putting thorn in what he did, but I thought that was the last good move he made. I thought his choice of substitutions and the players he utilised were unfortunately incorrect in my opinion.
Oh, we'll come on to that. But I guess the Kurt Ames' highlights videos for his application to the 2019 Melbourne Comedy Festival continued when he turned down Roy O'Donovan's penalty and also a penalty shout from Nikolai Topol-Stanley. Bodes, how did you see those two situations? Do you think that O'Donovan and or Topol-Stanley were hard done by in those circumstances, or do you think it's touch and go?
The Topol-Stanley one for me is an absolute gimme, like the shirt just being absolutely flued. But like that's a penalty. If that's anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul. And with the Roy one, you know, I can see it not being given, but I've definitely seen them given as well. And it just, yeah, comes back to consistency and there was none of it.
Well, I think he was consistent.
Yeah, consistently crap.
Consistently inconsistent. Well, consistently against the Jets, but, from what I've read on Twitter, Matt, the Topol-Stanley one was not given a penalty because Topol-Stanley was doing the same to the player before, in the moments before that match, before coming together, I should say.
So sorry to jump in. Why don't they call a foul on Topol-Stanley then? It's forgotten about them, but no, they don't. So yeah, I don't cop that.
It's because he was being consistently crap with his refereeing. So. Yeah, I don't get that sort of justification either. You know, if they're saying that he was letting someone else get away with it, but the Roy penalty shout, I think he went sort of looking for the contact, and if that happened against us, I would have thought it was pretty soft. So I don't really have any complaints there. But yeah, the top of one was 50-50 to say the least.
The top of one for me is like you tell your kids two wrongs make a right, and that's what it is for me.
Yeah.
Daniel Georgevski hit the post late on. I thought he had another really good game. He was substituted because, as Ernie will say in the press conference, he was looking to prevent Daniel. He was tired and he was looking to contain Daniel from getting his fifth yellow card of the season, and he needs him for the Melbourne victory game. But an interesting coming together in the second half with Richie Delatt. But overall, a good game from Georgevski again, Bodes.
Yeah, I thought on Wednesday night against Brisbane it was his best performance of the season, but he's been consistent now for a good couple of weeks, and it's great to see. I think whether he was holding himself back or Ernie was holding him back in the first couple of weeks, but he's really been given a license, I think, at least the last month. He was cooked when he came off. There was nothing wrong with taking him off.
So you were happy with the substitution of Lachlan Jackson on?
No, I was happy with subbing Georgevski off. I was unhappy with the player he chose to swap him with.
You would have put on Cowburn?
Oh, I would have put on anyone but Lachlan Jackson. That was, for me, was a defensive move. I don't have an issue with Lachlan Jackson, by the way. It's just, at the end of the day, I don't think Lachlan Jackson is going to help you getting a goal.
you can't bring Lachlan Jackson on and expect him to get touches in the final third. He's like a baby elephant on roller skates when he's got the ball like up there. No, it's just he is a centre back. He's not a left back. He's a centre back, and unfortunately, like he just doesn't have the our attack sort of lacks a lot of fluidity when he gets the ball. I agree. I think Cowburn would have been the more logical choice.
I personally would have gone with Shepherd. I would have moved it around. You could have moved Fry Denton to left wing back. He's left footed. You could have done. Yeah, I would have. I can't believe Shepherd didn't get on the pitch earlier. That was the real confusing one for me.
Jair as well, when he did come on, pose in the 81st minute, he was a substitution for Jason Hoffman. And it was interesting that we chose to sub both of our wing backs at the same time. That Jair just he had a couple of chances, but I don't know. Just does he need 20 minutes really to warm up into a game? Is he going to have that impact as a sub that we need? Or you've still written him off?
I've written him off. Look, if you're bringing a foreign player off the bench, you're not utilising the foreign system correctly. Your foreign players, the five or four, whatever it is now, they have to be your 4-5 in your top 6-7 players, and they have to play every week. So if it's come to this stage with Jair, I think I'd be very interested. I know Dave, we spoke about it last week. I think Jair might be the one who misses out in the ACL.
Do you?
Players. Yeah, I do. I think Ernie likes Fry Denton, and yeah, at the end of the day, we don't have as many midfield options as we do. I think wide attacking options. So yeah, I expect Jair to miss the cut.
I would have said that earlier in the season when Fry Denton started the season quite positively. I think a lot of it depends on how well Joey Champness comes back, and he's coming back this week. He's not match fit, but he's got capability for some minutes, and I think we'll see him on the bench against the Victory.
Yep, so do I. At the end of the day, you can play Thurgate in a wide position, you can play Champness. I think we'll go without Jair for ACL campaign.
Late on, McGree broke through, managed to chip Italiano, but it hit the post and ricocheted out. It was a bit of luck for the Jets, Matt. Do you think that had that gone in, 3-1 would have really flattered Melbourne City?
Rewatching the game, yeah, today, definitely. I don't know, by that stage, I was just a bit pissed off, to be honest, the other night when I was watching it. So, I think it was rewatching the game today. It was easy to forget that we were a man down for 65 minutes, and that was the third game they'd played in 7 days. Mm. So, as disappointing as the result was, I think, you've got to give the guys credit for the effort that they put in.
Ernie continues
and we really miss Riley McGree. Jeez, he's a good player.
Yeah, he is. He's their best player. he and Luke Bratton absolutely just carried that game. I just think he's terrific. Ernie continues to talk up the positive performances of the team. And not surprisingly, I suppose, but you'll hear in the press conference that he says directly, we will make the finals this year. We will make the finals. Is that just coach talking, Bodes? A very bold statement? Or do you actually think that he believes that they will?
I think he does believe that he will. I think he, at the end of the day, this squad minus two players made the grand final last season, so he's got to believe. I might not be as optimistic as he is now after the last couple of weeks, but look, good on him if he believes in it. The squad still believe it too. That's even better for us.
Yeah, it'll just take a couple of good results, I'd say. Maybe two good results on the bounce, and some hope will be restored, hopefully.
The problem is, what game is it going to be? We're about to take on Melbourne Victory, who are flying at the top of the ladder, and then take on Sydney at home, which is never no easy task. I don't remember the last time we won down there.
No. Well, we're taking on spots 2, 3, and 4 as it currently stands on the table. So, a couple of tough weeks ahead for the Jets.
We're mirroring what Melbourne did last year. Really slow start, hit form right at the, just as the final start. Yeah, we'll be right.
God, I hope so. Tell you what, if that happens, we will dig out this audio and we will use it in the intro. To cap off an encore performance, Bodes, Bugard's received a yellow card right at the death for what I thought was a fair challenge. He got the ball. I have no idea why he received a yellow card for that. Do you?
Kurt Ames is just putting the dessert on what it was a fantastic performance from his guys.
he was consistent.
Yeah, he was consistently inconsistent. Yeah, well, Melbourne City then. So they got the 3 points. They're going to be happy about that. But Matt, do you think overall they'll be satisfied? As if you're a Melbourne City fan, you took 3 points from the Jets, an understrength, well, a ten man Jets with two goals in the space of 5 minutes, and you really struggled to create anything else other than that. And you look the second best team against 10 men for that second half. Are you going to be happy with that performance?
No, absolutely not. I think it just sort of goes to show that, you know, while they've had a couple of good results, and I thought City would have been right up the top of the table at the start of the year, they've still got a few issues they need to work out. I'd be worried about next time they've actually got to play.
Mm. Boats, you want to add anything more to that?
No, mate, that's fine. I think Matt's put the nail in the coffin there.
Cool. All right, so. We're now going to hear Ernie's press conference. I've given most of it away. Oops, sorry, spoilers. But here he is, the Jets coach, Ernie Merrick. Thanks to Fox Sports for the use of their audio.
Ernie, what did you think of that game?
I thought it was a tremendous display by our players. And no points to show for it, but the team spirit that we showed is almost worth more than the points. So I was really impressed with the boys from the 25th minute onwards. Even the first 25 minutes, we did really well. Some good play, good defensive work. Got the early goal, looked like getting another one. And then the send-off sort of ruined the game a little bit. But then we turned it into a good game. We didn't sit back and defend. We decided we wanted to go for at least a draw, maybe all points, and we made a real game of it, and it's a credit to the players, especially this being our third game in 7 days, in a week.
Particularly in the second half, you really looked as though you were the better side for those portions of it. What was your message to the boys at half-time?
Well, we've been playing terrific football. I don't know if you've seen our last couple of games, but you know, we got a draw and a loss in the dying minutes of both those games. But we've been playing terrific football. We haven't got 3 points to show for it, but our shots on target are much better than they were. We're creating lots of opportunities. And we give a goal away here or there. It's not been outrageous. And the quality of football, I think we should be higher up on the points ladder. But it is what it is, and I certainly have no qualms about us being in the finals this year. We will definitely be in the finals with the team that I have and the depth that we have.
You always said double the shots with half the position today. And you were, last time you were out here, you were also very critical of the team's application. What's changed in that period?
That was the only game. The last time we played Melbourne City, there was two or three players out. We didn't have a striker. We played Ronnie High. We lost the midfield. We really did struggle. But there's been no real change from that game, because the games prior to it we were playing really well, and we've played really well ever since, if you've watched this much on television. And I think we're just getting stronger and stronger. We've got not only Roy back, but the players that we've signed are learning more of our system. And now with Johnny back from his cancer, we can stick Jason back up front again. And virtually everyone's available. Joey Champness will be available next week, not for a full game, but for part of a game. So Joey's been training really well. Kantorowski's strained his groin. He's the only injury we have at the moment.
Yeah, just in that second half, speaking of Hoffman and how he was part of that change of formation in the second half, how happy were you with how the just the midfield and how they were able to contain, considering just how compact they were in the second half, especially what Denton and Ngakoue?
Yes, we played zonally, so we passed players on. We didn't try and chase them all over the ground. We went to, from the 25th minute, we went to a 4-4-1. Straight away, they know how to play that. But at half-time, it gave me a chance to go to three at the back, two wing-backs, and then three players supporting Roy up front, breaking quickly, and then getting back again. and the combinations really worked well, particularly Dimmy delivering lots of good quality balls into the box. We also knew that we were pretty good in the air, so we took advantage of every set play and we came close with a few of them, not only with the first opportunity but with the second ball. So we're good in the air, we're good at corner kicks, free kicks, etc. And the boys played to the game plan really well. And Lewis, our goalkeeper's second game, Lewis Italiano, and I thought he was terrific as well. That's only Johnny's second game. I was going to take him off, but he just looked so fit. He's just been a great story.
Sorry, there was also a lot of stepping up from the central defenders in the second half. Was that more a directive from your part, or was it just having natural having a game plan?
Sorry, what were we doing?
Sorry, in terms of the central defenders, how they were more inclined to step up in the second half. Was that more? We
stopped teams from playing out from the back really well, and then once they do get out, then we drop quickly and we don't concede in behind. Two central defenders, Nigel and Nicolai, were just outstanding. Daniel was terrific. I didn't want Daniel to get another booking, and he was pretty tired, so he came off, because if he gets another booking, he'd have missed the victory game. Jason was exhausted on the far side, so I replaced him. But I felt the players that come on had a job to do, and with Kane's very good in the air, so we got him on for that last corner kick, and things nearly worked out for us. Who hit the post? Daniel Georgeski earlier hit the post. And Eugene pulled off a couple of good saves, but I felt as though it was all of us. They hit the post as well right at the end there, but we were just throwing everything forward. Well, I haven't seen it on video yet. Apparently, he was yellow carded for dissent. Should I give an answer or say anything else? He was yellow carded and sent off. For saying something very, very, very naughty.
Do you think you had a right to feel aggrieved about
the decision? I certainly do. Yeah, we've had four penalties against. I think the referee's director, if that's what you call him, has come out twice and said two of them we didn't deserve. We've never received a penalty. We might have been able to get two or three today, but we don't expect to get penalties anymore. We just have to defend them, really. Yeah, it's a really good draw we've had. So including today, it was five games away and one at home. And how we can't play home and away every week, I'll never understand. I'm sure somebody will say, oh, it's because you're playing ACL or this or that. Well, come and ask me, do you want to play away so that when you're playing ACL, you're at home? I say the same thing every year. I've only been saying it for 11 years, so I guess that's not very long. Play home, play away, play home, play away. End of story. If the stadiums aren't available, let's do what Sydney's done. You know, go to Mudgee, or we could go to, there's a couple of provincial, Cessnock. Maitland's got a terrific ground. Let's do this. Let's not be held to ransom. But we're getting off the subject. Let's get back to the referee. No, I'm only joking.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Time to pick a player of the match. Who are you picking out from the team, Matt?
Georgeski. He had a great game. Backed up well from the game to Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Boats, what about you?
Kurt Ames. It's got to be.
Are you saying that Kurt Ange should have just put a sky blue shirt on, or what?
No. Oh, wasn't he wearing one? Sorry, from a Jets point of view, I'm going to go with Georgeski.
I'm going to pick Dimi Petrabas. I actually thought his set pieces were pretty on point this week. Certainly a bit inconsistent the last few weeks, but they created confusion. They created opportunities for us to score. So I picked Dimi as the player, our player of the match. All right, guys. Well, anything more you want to add on that before we go?
No, let's just move on. It's all been said. But I think this day and age, we focus so much on the referees. Move on next week.
We don't like to bash refs on this pod, but I mean, sometimes things just need to be said, and I think we've said them. So, all right, guys. So, Newcastle Jets on Friday, the W League team took on the Sydney FC. Again, a disappointing result for the Jets. A 3-1 loss. Two late goals. There was a crack. The moment of the match probably went to the Jets with Libby Copus-Brown's stunning shot from outside the box, pinging across the keeper and into the top corner postage stamp. Have either of you seen that goal?
I have. What a worldie!
It was crack. It was an absolutely cracker. We saw quite a few this year.
Sorry, to quote Ferns, it was a thunder bastard.
It was a thunder bastard, absolutely. Matt, what were you going to say?
We seem to have scored quite a few absolute crackers this year. I don't know, I'd probably trade some of them in for ugly goals and points, but yeah, I mean, at least there was a positive to take away from the game.
That's true. Yeah, Courtney Vine has scored a cracker as well, so yeah, the Jets are there. 7 points now out of the top four. We've got four games remaining, so 12 points. We still sit in second last on the table. It's really... We're down, Matt, to the old classic mathematical chance of still making the finals. I think it's probably time to look to next season after injuries really crueled the Jets this year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't sort of share the same optimism for the ladies as what I do for the men, which is a shame because I thought, seeing the squad that they put together, we would have done a lot better.
Yeah, Bodes, I think that we will certainly look at this back on this season. And while injuries have affected us, Katie Stengel and in particular Taylor Smith, I think on paper it was probably the strongest lineup that I've seen the Jets have. They've massively underachieved so far this year.
I disagree with you, Dave. I thought the team we assembled under the first year with Nathan Tinkler when we had Barbieri and Devanna, I think that was the best team we ever assembled, and that team underachieved as well. But I think the show of the injuries, I think, was the fact on the weekend that Sydney brought Lisa Devanna off the bench. We didn't have that option on the bench for us.
No, that is very true. I mean, it tends to have been a problem for the Jets is goals, and we just don't seem to ever be able to get them. We got a few last year with Stengel, but this year we really, really struggled. Anyway, I didn't see the match, unfortunately, but as I mentioned, we've got four games left. We look to try and get something from this season. Yeah, it's going to be really tough for the team, though. I think we need to start looking to next year. Gents, that's really about it. I've had a look and there's no news that's out so far. Do you think the Jets would have come home with backing up in Melbourne again next weekend as well? Would they have come home or would they have stayed down there for the week?
No, they've come home.
Okay. There you go. Well, anything else you'd like to add?
They should have stayed for the week because I remember in 2012 when we had two games in a week, it was the best week ever.
I hope that there are people, I hope that there are Jets fans listening to this down in Melbourne right now. If you are down there, hit us up. Let us know, are you having a good time? We hope that you are. Short and sharp this week, team. Thank you very much for joining me, Bodes.
Pleasure as always, David.
Thanks, Matt, as well.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you very much, listeners, for joining us this week. Hope you've enjoyed a shorter podcast for the Jets. We'll be back during the week to discuss a preview for the Jets versus Melbourne City in what is round 13 of the A-League. There's a couple of games as well during the midweek, so get your fantasy teams in as well. Make sure that they're all locked away. And other than that, go the Jets.
Go Kurt Ams.
Go the Jets.
Boo, Kurt Ames, boo. Anyway. Oh, I'm surprised I got through that without swearing.
Yeah, neither did I. There's something wrong with me.
Yeah. Well, I'm down, Benjamin.